Trusted Voices is a Cognizant podcast series that aims to showcase the diversity of thoughts, backgrounds, and identity of our 350,000 associates all over the world. Trusted Disruptors is a special mini-series where we ask associates to reflect specifically on what it takes to build trust in the age of AI. Our focus will be on sustainability, transparency, data security, healthcare, global workforce, and more. The dialogue illustrates how we're building trust, especially when we show up diverse. Well, thank you both so much for being here with us today on Trusted Voices. Mikkel and John, I wonder if each of you would kick us off today by just taking a moment to introduce yourself and share a little bit about what you do.
Well, Pamela, thanks for having me here. My name is John Finelli, and I work at NVIDIA, and I've done so for the past 8 years. And I'm responsible for our enterprise software business, in particular from a go-to-market perspective. So that ranges from everything from Gen AI, of course, which we'll talk about today, but our full NVIDIA Enterprise portfolio, our Omniverse products, and even, you know, autonomous vehicle software like DriveOS.
Good afternoon. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mykola Hajvanovic. I lead artificial intelligence and machine learning globally for Cognizant. I look after all of our offerings that we develop in the area of artificial intelligence and especially Gen AI lately. All of our partnerships also fall under my team's purview and the corresponding go-to-market. So I look forward to this conversation today. Very nice to meet you all.
So let's dive right in. And John, I'm actually going to ask my first question to you. And it's about the annual GTC conference in mid-March. Of course, it was a pretty big deal this year with all of the announcements that, you know, NVIDIA shared. And I'm wondering from your perspective, why is there so much buzz? What's so exciting about all of the things that you announced and that are going on right now?
Sure, Pamela. It was pretty crazy. So GTC was this past March, GTC 2024, and it's the first GTC that we've had in person since 2019. So just the fact that we got everybody together, it was pretty electric. It was great to see everyone. And obviously, you know, the landscape for us as a company and for AI as an industry has changed quite a bit in 5 years. We've had annual GTCs virtually, of course, since then. But this is the first one where we were back in person in San Jose, California. The size was bigger than anything we've ever had before, and it was really cool. Jensen Huang, our CEO, he gave his keynote, and it was actually done at the stadium where the San Jose Sharks play. So we sold out with more than 11,000 people in to listen to his keynote. He was up for it. He delivered a great keynote. While there were lots of announcements, there's kind of three big takeaways that I think might be interesting for the audience. First and foremost, everybody knows NVIDIA because of our GPUs and the work that we're doing there. And so it's no surprise that we announced a new GPU. And so our GPUs have family names based on the generation. And so we introduced our Blackwell platform at this event. And it's really targeted at generative AI. And so with Blackwell, we'll be able to build and deploy trillion parameter scale generative AI models. Again, that's trillion with a T, right? And so our current set of GPUs are Hopper, and Blackwell is 30 times faster for AI inference, 4 times faster for AI training. At the same time, it actually uses 25x lower energy, and the TCO is 25x better. So
it's a game changer.
it's bigger, faster, stronger, cheaper, more efficient. All right. So that was kind of like the first big announcement. And Blackwell GPUs are available in many different form factors. So, you know, you can buy the GPUs to put in servers. You can buy servers that are pre-built with them. And at NVIDIA, you know, we really view compute as a data center scale problem, right? And so we actually are delivering Blackwell in a rack configuration, including all the networking from our Mellanox acquisition. So it truly is a drop-in capability, and it's actually liquid cooled. So it's really important that we kind of deliver it as a single unit stand-in. So that's the GPU side of things. What many people may not be aware of is that NVIDIA has a tremendous amount of software. So as a hardware provider, you know, one of the things that's, you know, the minimum requirement for us is to enable an ecosystem to use that hardware to get value, because organizations don't buy hardware, they buy applications and solutions. And so for many companies, that's delivering a driver. For NVIDIA, it's way more than that. We have a complete stack that goes from the driver to our CUDA capabilities through tons of different research, open source models, open source technologies, etc. And what we announced is a new software capability that we call NVIDIA NIM. And so a NIM drives an NVIDIA inference microservice. And the great thing about that is, if you're familiar with generative AI and LLMs, and I'm sure Mikola will provide some more context for this, there are a number of open source models that are available. The most popular one being, one of the most popular ones, I should say, being Llama. And in fact, as of today, April 18th, there's a new Llama 3 out. And so, you know, we're seeing lots of open source models. And our NIMs work completely for open source models. We prepackage them so that it makes it easy for an organization to stand up a model as a microservice and use an industry standard API. So it's all about delivering open source models, easy to use, standards-based, high-performing. And so NIM is just one of many microservices that we announced. There are actually 8 different microservices that customers can use to build out their retrieval augmented generative AI, RAG. And then the third area that I wanted to hit is we're very prominent in the robotics area, right? And so robotics is also uses generative AI on the back end to decide how a robot should act and feel and talk and move. And so we actually announced a new project called Project Groot. And what Groot does is it allows humanoid robotics to be trained based on video. So we can take video of, in this case, Jensen dancing, and you can actually train the model or the robot that's a humanoid robot to actually dance the same way he does, right? And so it's a really strong advancement. So there's like, you know, probably like 20 different more announcements, and including our announcements around our partnership between Cognizant and NVIDIA. So you should check those out. But from a product perspective, it's the Blackwell family, it's NVIDIA NIM, and it's Project Groot.
It's more than a mouthful. It's really, you know, things that are going to fundamentally change the way so many companies do business. And I want to pick up the thread of the press release. You know, we just put out a press release talking about, you know, how we'll apply generative AI to enhance drug discovery for some of our pharmaceutical clients using NVIDIA technology. And, you know, I'd love, Michael, to hear from you. What is it that we're seeing as Cognizant that tells us that, you know, we want to place the big bet and do some of these strategic collaborations with NVIDIA now?
Pamela, thank you for that question. So I think if we look at the industry, right, I think we can all agree, and as John mentioned, and we see this as well, is that generative AI is another major inflection point in the industry, right? So it allows us to do a lot of very interesting things, right? So creating new sources of revenue, increasing productivity across the board, as well as ability to grow existing markets and existing areas, as well as, you know, address and create new ones that we haven't seen before. So this partnership especially targets those opportunities. So as you have alluded to, Pamela, right, as part of our announcement, there were three things, or, you know, there's several key things that that were addressed, right? One of them is usage of a BioNeMo to accelerate drug discovery for our life science customers, where we have already started doing a number of joint workshops and ideation sessions. The second part is establishing NVIDIA Center of Excellence. And as part of that Center of Excellence, we are planning to utilize Omniverse, Metropolis, and AI Enterprise. So I know that NIMS was brought up, so that's exactly, you know, is a part of that. So all of these Omniverse, Metropolis, AI Enterprise, they would be exposed through the microservice architecture. And you know, I think another area is that we also target our customers in automotive and manufacturing areas. Those are a few other areas that are going to be, you know, primary focus for us in the area of IoT, leveraging Omniverse. So I think as part of the partnership, those are some of the key areas that we are thinking about targeting first. Obviously, not an exhaustive list, and we are, you know, very much very closely partnered, and we, you know, I can say only very positive things about our partnership with NVIDIA.
I'm going to actually go back to you, John. I'm going to ask you a question about a statement that your CEO recently made. He was interviewed by Jim Cramer, and he said that NVIDIA is a market maker, not a share taker. What do you, you know, can you maybe unpack that a little bit for us and sort of, you know, talk about this notion of NVIDIA really focusing more on new market opportunities versus competing in new ones?
Pamela, it's actually deeply ingrained in our culture, that statement, and it's really telling when you hear Jensen speak about it, because he talks about it internally exactly the same way he talks about it externally. And the whole point is, you know, we're building a company that's going to go off and do great things, and it's going to do things that only we can uniquely do. And so if there is, you won't really hear NVIDIA say we're going to take share from this market, or you won't see people reporting that NVIDIA is taking share, because our view is if somebody else is doing it, that's great for them. We should let them go do it. We're going to go do the things that we can uniquely do. We're going to make a presence in the market. And generally, that starts with having your own conviction in a product or an opportunity or a market space and going for it. So we talk about taking $0 billion markets and making them $1 billion markets. And as an employee, it's super refreshing because, you know, Jensen explains, why would we want to squander the capabilities of our employees doing something that somebody else is already doing? We want our employees to be able to, you know, chase their dreams, chase the untouchable, and really drive innovation. And that's what it means to work at NVIDIA. And you know, there's lots of different reports out there, but we have, you know, one of the highest sort of, I don't know if the right HR term is, but, you know, long timers, right? There are people at NVIDIA that are here for many, many years, and we're one of the biggest companies in the industry to be doing that. And it's because we get to do the things that we find interesting and we want to do and that no one else is doing.
Very inspiring. Thank you for sharing that, John.
So I'm going to start with you, Mikola, for my first question. I want to talk to you about what are your thoughts on how NVIDIA is creating the new market propensity with these recent technologies?
Absolutely. So when we talk about creating new markets or growing the existing ones, we do believe in collaborative approach. And when we talk about, you know, increased productivity or the new sources of revenue, right, i.e. new markets, taking them from million-dollar areas to billion-dollar areas or trillion-dollar areas, what is happening underneath all of that? What's happening underneath all of that for many companies is really harvesting your own intelligence, right? And then leveraging that intelligence. And leveraging it for what? To accelerate everything and scale, right? So, you know, being able to do this at scale, you know, going from a proof of concept to actually enterprise level implementation, that is what's important here. That's how you get ROI. That's how you actually get your money back and more, right? So that's essentially how these new sources of revenue created. In parallel, when that happens, we also need commoditization and kind of standardization of a lot of these Gen AI opportunities or capabilities that fuel these new markets and growth. So there is no reason why the companies should do it themselves, right? We are here to help. So through our partnership with NVIDIA and, you know, all the different technologies that we bring, which, you know, we plan and we are enabling our customers to grow these new markets and get the most value out of it.
That's terrific. My question to you, John, is, you know, we're partnering with NVIDIA to leverage NVIDIA's AI enterprise, including NeMo, BioNeMo, and Metropolis as part of its Gen AI roadmap. Can you talk a little bit about the impact that this will have for enterprise customers?
Sure. You know, at a high level, it's going to be awesome. But you know, before we dive into it, one of the things I'd like to do is maybe share something that I found really interesting conceptually. So I think most people are familiar with large language models, you know, through interacting with like ChatGPT, right? Or we see the possibility of a language model to be able to do translations from one language to another. And so we generally think of languages as our written and spoken languages, right? English, Japanese, Spanish, you know, Russian, whatever it might be. But that concept of a language is actually, it's a concept that is abstract. And so when you think about things like chemistry and biology, they actually have their own language. They have a syntax, they have rules. And you know, when we talk about it, people nod their heads, as you guys are doing, like, oh yeah, of course that's, but you don't normally think about it that way. And so one of the things that we've done is we've trained models on the language of biology. And so if you're familiar, obviously there's lots of different use cases of biology in healthcare and life sciences. But if you're familiar with, for example, the drug discovery use case, right, this is a very well-known process. It's very much has guardrails around it because, you know, it's concerning people's health and before you go to trials and those things. But it all starts with today, a human trying to think of different molecules that might bind to a protein and how they might react with a potential drug to solve a problem. And today that those proteins are designed by geneticists, by biologists who think this through. Well, we actually have a large language model that can generate proteins that are, you know, accurate from a biological perspective that maybe we wouldn't have thought of. I mean, I never took organic chemistry or biology, but I've seen these like, you know, carbon hydrogen chains that are like, you know, super crazy long. And so what we can do is we can ask BioNeMo to create and generate through generative AI a number of molecules with certain attributes that we believe will bind well with the protein that we're looking at. And then there are some industry standards like AlphaFold and other things that can then test the reaction to that. Wow. So if you're doing drug discovery, you can actually shorten one of these phases, right, and actually get better, more accurate results because, you know, the computer is generating or the model is generating molecules that, you know, a human may or may not have thought of. So that's like one thing that's super crazy.
It's like the future, right? The future is now.
Exactly.
It's happening right now. It's crazy.
Right. So, wow. So that's BioNeMo. NeMo, of course, is our large language model. So again, for people that may or not be familiar with that, when you interact with ChatGPT, there's actually two words in there. There's chat, which is how you're interacting with it. And then there's GPT, which is the type of model that they use. So the name, and you might have heard like Llama is a model from Meta, and, you know, Mistral has their own model. Our models are called Nemotrons, and our framework is called NeMo. So NeMo is our view of a large language model that we're going to make available alongside of the other open source ones, as I mentioned, in our NIM, our NVIDIA Inference Microservices. And we're dedicated and committed to using our framework, not only to create models that are, you know, sort of data clean, because I know that's a big topic, but also to use the rest of our capabilities to ensure that they're higher performing, lower latency models, so you get better impact. And one of the things that I didn't discuss with NIM is it's, you know, it's multi-cloud, it's vendor agnostic. And so from an enterprise perspective, you know, we're super happy if our customers work with OpenAI or they work with Bedrock or whatever, because they're all partners of ours, just like you are. But for some customers, that's not the right fit. And so you want to be able to take your NIM and take your open source model or your NeMo model and deploy it where you want and control it how you want. And then, of course, the last thing is Metropolis, which is a computer vision model. And there's obviously tons of different applications for computer vision, everything from, you know, autonomous vehicles to one that I think we're more familiar with, which might be retail, right? So having something like Metropolis in a retail store would allow the retailer to ensure that their shelves are always stocked, that they can help people with self-checkout, right? Catch errors in self-checkout, or even do things like making sure the produce is watered so that it doesn't, you know, turn brown, right? So there's all different things you can do with computer vision. And so we're super excited to be working with Cognizant in like all of these areas, right? And they're certainly, you know, healthcare, life sciences, and retail are just two examples of where this technology could be used.
This is super fascinating. I read up so much before coming on, and now I feel like I just even didn't know the tip of the iceberg. There's so much here, and it's incredibly fascinating. I mean, Mikula, for you, I mean, Cognizant is obviously partnered with other companies. Tell me, in the space of course, generative AI, tell me about how we're leveraging NVIDIA, specifically the NVIDIA stack, as a differentiator. That's the difference that's making the difference from what I understand.
So, you know, I find the protein folding, or one of the applications that John brought up, personally, you know, very fascinating. So it's a very interesting area, right? That, you know, the proteins, let's say, in order to solve certain diseases, right, that you're trying to generate, for example, they lack stability, right? So through, through the usage of generative AI, when you create the new proteins, you could, increase the stability of their shelf life, but also reduce, their reaction on when they are consumed by the human body, which would allow them to get to the kind of target or problem areas that is trying to address. So anyways, I just find that very interesting and fascinating. In terms of the partnerships, I think when we talk about the industry, when we talk about the customers, we definitely take a very much, you know, holistic approach. And it's almost axiomatic, right? Processes, people, technology. So when we look at the Gen AI ecosystem, especially, right now it's relatively fractured, right? It's rapidly evolving, but it's still very much fractured and the consolidation hasn't happened. So for a lot of our customers, that is a hard area to navigate, right? They don't know how to approach it and so on. So I think through the partnership with NVIDIA, we are here to help, right? We, both of us, have probably we have probably both one of the kind of broadest ecosystems out there in terms of partnerships. And as part of those ecosystems, we have a lot of partnerships in common. So NVIDIA has, you know, extremely deep integration with hyperscalers and other companies and ServiceNow, Snowflake, Databricks, startups. And so do we, right? We also very closely collaborate with all of the hyperscalers and the companies that I have already mentioned, as well as a lot of the niche startups. So we could help the customers navigate that. And through this deep integration and collaboration, it would allow us to jointly address the needs and provide that scale and value, right? Because at the end of the day, yeah, it's getting that value sooner with less risk and provided scale. So which would give us, you know, which would allow us to also deliver much more significant impact for our customers. Like I mentioned, shorten the go-to-market, reduce risk, develop brand new capabilities that we were discussing. In terms of NVIDIA stack, I mean, we use a lot of it, right? So we already mentioned the Omniverse, Metropolis, AI Enterprise. In addition to BioNeMo, which is a wonderful product, we also, you know, these days when it comes to Gen AI, it's all about standardization and templatization of capabilities. What does that really mean? And why is that important? This is important because it addresses the enterprise level concerns with respect to scale and speed. So can you actually take this, proof of concept that you are creating and put it into production in a nice, repeatable, scalable way? That requires you to have a set of building blocks, right? So that's what I mean by standardization and templatization. And as part of that, NeMo stack has wonderful solutions, right? So we have the retriever, which addresses the retrieval augmented generation with a knowledge base in it and so on, as well as the guardrails. So we already have a number of customers where we are either using retriever, guardrails, or both in order to address these needs, right? So I think, it's when it comes to the technology as well as helping navigate the partnerships space and a space where multiple companies almost appear every day. We are here to help, and I think it's a non-zero-sum game.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. What a terrific way to wrap up this conversation. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to speak with us. This has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so very much.